Lorenzo Alexander has just called in to the Coulter Automotive Group sports line.
Yeah.
He filled in for Wolf last week, then left for Indianapolis, was a part of a marathon four-hour meeting with owners, then part of a marathon meeting with the NFLPA Executive Council, then part of a vote in the Executive Council on what to do next, and then, after that, watched all of his friends in the NFLPA who make a lot of money, not the rank and file, but the ones who make a lot of money, just ripped the deal he spent half of his life trying to formulate. And now he's going to prove he's a better man than all of us because, Zoe, if I was you, I would just come out guns a-blazing and rip everybody this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great this morning. What's going on, Wolf? Sorry I missed you.
Man, that's all right, buddy. Thank you so much for joining us, Zoe. Really appreciate you, bud.
Yeah, no worries at all. And it's not, just kind of backtrack a little bit on your timeline. You know, obviously we met with the owners Tuesday, said our piece, and then we had a chance to, so the executive committee did not vote again. You know, there's kind of like a report out there that we voted and it was 7-4, which was different from what we voted a week ago, which was 6-5. And then we met with all of our reps. So you have guys from your highest earners to guys that are our core guys. So you have a lot of diversity within our reps that have been voted onto the board by their teams. And so those are the guys that are making decisions. And those are the guys that ended up initially or essentially passing this vote to all of our players with a 17-14 vote. And one guy abstained. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. We have this deal on the table. And obviously we are kind of split as a body. And that's just naturally going to happen, especially when we're talking about player health and safety and you have the 17th game that is part of it. You know, and I as a 15-year vet, I hate this 17th game. And I was actually one of the guys that voted yes. And a lot of my reason, because I voted for this deal as far as where we're at, because we asked the reps. We asked our men and – a couple of guys raised their hand and said, nah, it's a non-starter. But other guys were like, hey, we'll see what they do. And I also talked to some guys in the Bills locker room. And so for me as a leader that's been put in this place, I am responsible for voting how my men want to go. And that's kind of where I was at because I was on the fence because I hate the 17th game. But I'm a 15-year guy, and there's no way I could probably see myself playing another game based on the way I feel. even though we used to put way more work in, you know, when I first got in this league with – padded practices, double days, and all this stuff that accumulative is even way worse than what this deal would present as far as a health and safety rule. And so we've had some other things that we've been able to walk back a little bit as far as the health and safety, going from 27-16 pads, more days off, a mandatory bye week, essentially in that fourth week where we won't have a fourth preseason game. But one of the things that I think has kind of got lost in this fray a little bit, and I even talked to kind of Doug offline last night about it, was this ability for former players and their spouses to go to hospitals in the 32 NFL cities where they'll be able to provide or have access to certain medical services. And it's, I think it's outside of the box of which we think about with our health care, you know, as far as, you know, dental, being able to get, you know, go get your physicals, but this will be more like rehab, physical therapy type of things that eventually offer surgeries as well. And that's what our guys, I think, really mean when they say we need to extend health care in a lot of ways, because me going to see a general doctor is not going to help my shoulder pain or my hip pain or my ankle pain or things that I've received. And so we have made some strides in that area that I think has kind of gotten overlooked because of the 17th game, and then our HRA, things that allow you to pay for those premiums in your traditional healthcare sense, and obviously those costs are going way up. But right now it stands at $350. I'm at year 13, and I just maxed it out. Under this new policy, under this new deal, the maximum amount of dollars that you can contribute to this goes from $350 to $450. You can reach that max in 9 years. And if you are a 7-year guy, you would essentially max me now, currently. I'm a 13-year guy leaving. If you play 7 years from now on moving forward, you can max it out in 7 years. And so, you know, and with increased minimums as well. So that, my mind says, hey, I might not have to play this game as long. But because I think I ended up really playing so I could have financial freedom, so I don't have to work. But if minimum goes up, you have things like this that are in place, you look at yourself, and that's why, and it's okay. So you will have guys that say, well, I ain't going to play 10 years because I don't have to play 10 years. I can leave after this game after 6 years because not only I played, lived out my dream, but I also can go and support my family and not feel like I have to rush into a second career because I have this nice nest egg as well as some of these other benefits.
This is,
and so, you know.
Oh, I was going to jump in. I was going to jump in, Lorenzo, because in that, and by the way, that was really nice of you to say that we talked last night, because I talked to so many people and I try to keep it quiet because I don't want people to know, because I don't want them to think I work hard. So for you to admit that you were nice enough to talk to me, I appreciate that. That was cool of you to do that, because this is how I get info. But one of the things you said in there, and I think this is important, because it's there are tons of reports, and you there like one report says you guys had a vote 6-5 no. You heard the owners, you had another vote, 7-4, no.
No.
You're the first person to say, no, that didn't happen. Okay, so that's important.
We had a couple of guys on Twitter yesterday. I mean, Sam Acho put it out there, and I think several of the EC members retweeted him. But there's always going to be misinformation, right? Especially, and that could be on both sides. If you agree with the deal, you tend to emphasize the things that matter, and if you disagree with them, you tend to leave things out. And so I'm not trying to be in that camp as much as possible, even though, you know, I'm trying to look at this thing big picture, right? So obviously I hate 17 games. There are still a lot of restrictions for a lot of our top earners and guys that get tags. But when you're dealing with a group of people and our disposition was already, you know, from a place of, I'm putting air quotations, for a weakness as far as the deal of where we should be, you have to work from your current position. You can't, you know, it's not like we scratched everything up, blew up the last 100 years, and then you're going to work from a place of parity, especially when you talk about billionaire owners. And that's just the realness of the situation of who you are negotiating with. Now, yes, is there some leverage points that we can do? Can we blow it up and take this thing to expiration and possibly have a work stoppage? That is a realistic thing that we can do. And so now you have to look at it, okay, are we collectively ready to do something like that? And what is the outcome of something like that? And how long would you have a work stoppage in order to achieve your ultimate goal? And then also, what is that ultimate goal? Because you have to have a vision that's going to collectively keep every single guy, similar to free agency when the men struck years ago. And even then you had some of the highest earners and some of the stars crossed in, and they were galvanized around that issue. And so there's just a lot of things that you have to look at from a leadership
perspective. Yeah, Wolf couldn't hold the line back then, though. Wolf couldn't hold the line and keep people away.
Are you kidding me? I had my
Wolf didn't cross, but
that's
he had too
right,
many teammates
though.
That crossed, though.
No way. Standing out there with my union sign.
Exactly.
Hey,
but, I mean, ultimately, we had to go back and play under some rules that we didn't really want to because we couldn't sustain it. And are we in a better position financially across the board as far as what guys are making now? Yes. But there's also some other issues that just guys have shown even back in 2011 when we had made some significant financial gains that we're still trying to get back or put pressure on us to make a deal, and we hadn't even missed any games. And so I think you have to look at everything and be real about it and not just be so emotionally caught up in the situation, your own situation and what you think we should get, but be realistic. And then if you still vote no, I'm good with that. I really don't care which way we go. I just want what's best for a majority of our men. And if our reps feel a certain way and then our men feel a certain way, I'm rocking with that way full force. Go ahead.
I gotta ask you, man. Is it the 17th game? Is it fair to characterize the entire negotiations that are going on right now as the 17th game?
Well, mainly the 17th game. We shouldn't allow it to get here. I mean, if I have one when I look at this, because negotiations took place where we were heavily involved in the offseason, and that was always one of the things that players talked about as far as we weren't moving on. And then the season took place and a lot of us couldn't participate, and we gave them a proposal and they came back with this framework and okay, out of just doing due diligence, let's see what it would look like as a whole and not like we wanted this. And then, so it just kind of got pigeonholed in its ownness. And so I think a lot of guys, this is a non-starter for a lot of guys in some sense. I think a lot of guys would still do it because I've asked men face to face, in a group by themselves, would you do it? And some said yes. Some said no, it was a non-starter. And I think that's ultimately why we're so split over this over this deal. Because some guys are 15-year vets or 10-plus-year vets like myself, and then you have some other younger guys or some other refs that are a little bit younger or have younger teams where they have guys in their room that said, hey, yeah, I'll play 17.
I'm wondering, and you can imagine Maloney and Bear are jumping up and down because our commercials are about ready to start, but I'm going to ask anyway. So do you think this deal is going to pass in the next 48 hours?
I mean, no, it definitely won't pass in the next 48. And the reason why is the deal that is tentatively agreed on based on the major terms that we've kind of talked about, as well as the revenue split that's included, which is a big jump to, you know, even though, you know, you never want to emphasize money, but this is part of the deal. I mean, we went from a 47 average life of the deal last time. So 47% was a life of the deal, 10% of 10 years. So the league essentially gave us a high percentage early, and as the money grew, they gave us a less percentage. So it averaged out to 47 versus now it's going to be an annual 48% up to 48.5% annual split, which is way better, way different. And so there's some positives, as I mentioned, but there's also negatives. And will it get done? No, because we still have to clean up all the legal language before we present our board or our members, the 2,000 men, on a deal. So they have clarity of every single issue, and you're making a judgment call on that, not just the term.
Okay.
So just take care of those pre-2012 guys, okay? I love that. Oh, my goodness. You know, I was
all... And that's part of it, too. You know, the pre-93 guys were actually doing pitching parity, and that was one of the big things, and our union has continued to go back. We did it with the legacy fund for certain guys, widows, and now we're doing the pension parity. So all those guys that had pensions of like $200, they've been moved up to $550.
Absolutely,
which
love
is
that.
Similar to what I was getting when I first got in. So we are thinking about all of our members, you know, past, future, and present. And I think that's why this is so heavy for us.
Yes,
and why it's taking so long, because it's a responsibility that expands to the 2,000 men and their family, as well as some of our former members. And so it's a hard decision, but you know, obviously we have to make one, and our players have to make one, and I want to make sure guys understand the totality of their decision. Because if you say no, you're impacting those men too. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. I just want to make sure everybody knows every single part of the deal.
So love and respect from the Wu Fang Clan. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, brother. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Zo.
No, I appreciate you. Anytime.
Absolutely. This is Lorenzo Alexander, member of the Executive Council, with some insight on exactly what's happening on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Your family owns and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, it finally happens. The wait is over. The rodeo man takes the mound. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hey, no.
Let's talk rodeo.
Man, I tell you, saddle up, boy.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Is mad
today, 1 o'clock. At Salt River Fields, the Cincinnati Reds come to town, and they get their first look at the newest member of the Arizona Diamondbacks, Mason Saunders.
You got to love that right there. Mason Saunders, the alias of Madison Bumgarner. Oh, my goodness. Do you really care if Mad Bum has an alias, Masonians? Ask yourself that question. Wouldn't you like to have an alias? That's one of the coolest things about it. Who wouldn't want an alias?
Mike Hazen, general manager, yesterday on the Doug and Wolf Show.
I've seen aliases through the course of many years in baseball. Pretty much in every road city, you see the rooming list and you see your yearly alias list, and they can be quite humorous at times. And this one was no different.
I think it's so cool. I have to tell you that right now. I think it's so cool that
you actually can make $26,000 in a weekend in Wickenburg.
He actually has an alias and has a passion for that kind of lifestyle.
I've been in the valley. You ain't been up off that porch now.
Come on, man. Don't do this to me. Let's keep this on track. Do you really care about this, Douglas? I haven't had the chance to get your take on this, right? Haven't been listening.
I can't believe
Sorry.
You asked that.
I was busy.
You're a little busy. I want to care. I mean, I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I think you're putting yourself and your teammates in a bad situation because it's easy to get hurt doing that, no matter how good you are at it. And your organization stuck their neck out to give you that fifth year. We're counting on you as a fan base. But I admit, it's so funny. I am having a hard time getting mad about it, and
it's
I can't get over just the fact that he knows it's not right, so he has an alias. But part of the alias is just to keep it quiet for him, so people don't bum rush him and stuff like that. But it was interesting listening to Mike Hayes and when he admitted part of this is why he's here.
You know, like I said the other day, look, we. You know, it happened before he got here. You know, he has been riding horses his entire life. We knew it was part of what he loved to do as we were doing background on him in signing here. Mm-hmm. And I think it was one of our advantages where we were situated to trying to be able to sign him.
There's no doubt about it.
Ha!
Ha!
You can whip your Porsche off.
So good right there. It really is. You stop and think about this, Basin Onions. Really, listen, I would like to have been a Knights Templar back in the 13th century, okay? Mad Bum wants to live in Tombstone. Is there anything wrong with that? Now, listen, he can't risk his baseball career because he wants to be Doc Holliday. I think we all understand that, right? But I thought it was so cool that he actually had a passion for this, and it probably did impact why he signed with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we want to make that clear if there's any Giants fans out there watching. Yeah.
That he ropes with his right hand, so what it's okay.
Yeah, there you go. What is weird about this is when I played Basin Onions, every contract had a clause in that contract that forbade you to ski, ride a motorcycle, water ski, play any other sport competitively, and if you got hurt doing it, you know what? You could null and void your contract. Every contract I signed in 1985. Now ask yourself this, Douglas, honestly. Do you think contracts have gotten more proactive? Let's put it that way.
We haven't lost lawyers, so.
Yeah, we have not lost lawyers. As the money has increased so incredibly over the sports landscape over the last decade or two, do you think that it's more likely that the clause is in his contract that he can't do this kind of stuff, or if he gets hurt, that there's null and void. Mm-hmm. The contract could be null and void. I think it's more likely, not less likely. Yet when I listened to Mike Hazen, I honestly don't know if there's a clause in that contract.
I guarantee you there is. Now, what I'm thinking is Mike Hazen, they probably had a conversation and they probably said, A, we didn't really like the fact of finding out this stuff about you in an article. Is there anything else we can talk about now? I bet that was part of the conversation. And I bet number two is, okay, we know you've got to be you. Let's discuss what's fair of when you're doing this. And if you're entering rodeos, we got a problem. If you're just doing roping and you get hurt, we don't have a problem. I bet they talked about it like that. But entering competitive rodeos, it's not a great idea.
When I heard Mike Hazen say, I'm not going to get into any specifics on that type of stuff, it's a fair question, and I totally get it. That stuff will stay with us in-house and how those things are handled. He's talking about a clause in the contract. How would that impact the contract if he got hurt? I'm not going to touch that stuff. I that made me think. I could be dead wrong on this, Basin Onions, but that made me think right there. There is no clause in the contract, which blew my mind. Because you would easily, if I'm Mike Hazen, I'd just say, hey, listen, contractually we're covered. There's a clause in there. You know what? Hey, listen, if he wants to rodeo, let him go rodeo. But if he gets hurt and he knows it, he could null and void the contract. What would be wrong in saying that? I don't think there'd be anything wrong in saying that. Nothing. There's no kind of PR hit. hey, listen, we have a clause in the contract. We're covered on that. Why not just say that? That made me think maybe there isn't a clause in the contract. And I'm not saying that's the fault of the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm just saying, oh my goodness, the standard boilerplate contract of any professional athlete. Hey, listen, you can't do A, B, C, and D outside of playing football. And if you do, that could null and void your contract.
Coming up next.
For me, I'm looking for that type of guy, David Johnson type of guy.
Wait, what? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's a funny transition to Bruce Arians.
Met with silence.
Well, all you need is a cocktail and an attitude. That's your Halloween costume if you want to be BA, according to him.
And, of course, the hat. You gotta have that.
Yeah, and the headset.
We all, speaking of two as well, we all owe a beer, myself especially, to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Rick, next time you're in Phoenix, look it up. Look us up. I owe you a beer. For you being responsible for recording the aforementioned Bruce Arians and sending it to us this morning, because without Rick, we would not have this from the NFL Combine yesterday. Bruce Arians wants to talk to you about what it means to be an every down back. Edgerrin James. That's the kind of guy that you want as an every down back. And he lists a couple every down backs. He lists three every down backs. There's one problem. One of them's considered tampering if you say it. And he's a Cardinal.
Edgerrin James never came off the field. Marshall Faulk never came off the field. So always, for me, I'm looking for that type of guy, David Johnson type of guy. I can't use his name. That skill set.
Just so funny, is it not? Basin needs to hear BA right there. Misspeak. Slip of the tongue. But I thought to me it was a kick save and a beauty because he said a David Johnson type.
Okay, now.
I can't use his name. He said it literally. I can't use his name.
Okay, here's what's suspicious about that. Fishy, is that how many times has Bruce Arians done these settings, whether it's the owners' meetings or other league events where there's all the NFL reporters around? How many times has he stopped a reporter short and said, don't get me fined? I'm not going to tamper. He very well knows that you can't name names of players currently under contract to other teams. So is he talking to Jason Light? Is he talking to his front office? Is he trying to reinforce a point that perhaps he's made behind the scenes? Go get me David Johnson.
I think he screwed up. However, if we're following along the Paul Calvisi conspiracy theory,
he knows what he's saying and doing.
I don't think he's talking to Jason Light. Yeah. If you buy the conspiracy, I'll tell you who he's talking to then. David Johnson. He's trying to tell David Johnson, throw your fit. He's trying to tell David Johnson, come out and say publicly you're not happy. Create the situation where the Cardinals have to trade you, and then everybody knows where you're going to go. Do I buy anything I'm saying? No. But am I playing along with the conspiracy? If it's true that Bruce Arians did not slip up, I have no doubt then he's talking to David Johnson and his team.
Yeah, I just think he slipped. I think that's all he did right there, a slip of the tongue right there, because obviously he's talking about backs that don't come off the field. And we know that when BA was here, David Johnson, of course, had his most productive seasons. There's no doubt about that. And he never came off the field for the most part. Now, that's gross exaggeration right there, because obviously he did from time to time. But having said that, again, for the most part, I think Bruce Arians just slipping the tongue right there. It's not like it'd be the first time. It's not the only time he's done it. I think Bruce has said a lot of things that he didn't want to be public. He just said it because he's so real.
All right, so let's just cut to the chase. Does he or does he not want David Johnson?
He wants David Johnson.
So if he wants,
I don't think there's any doubt.
If he wants David Johnson, do you think a deal gets done?
Yes.
I do too. If
the
he
problem
truly
is he just
wants
hurt the leverage of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the only interesting thing about this. Jason Light is screaming somewhere.
But at the same time, Jason Light, you know, his leverage is to tell Steve Keim, who else are you going to trade him to? Okay, it's you don't have any leverage against us.
I don't know who else is calling.
You know, I'll use the famous line that I love. I think it's one of the greatest lines in negotiating history of Tony Gwynn with the San Diego Padres. He said, "Listen, nobody has any leverage. They'd be dumb to let me go, and why would I want to play anywhere else but here?" You know, and so like we both know, and I look at it the same way. Jason Light, you ain't got leverage because your coach wants this guy and you've got to go get him and you need him for that quarterback. And Steve Keim, you don't have any leverage because there's no way there's any other of the other 30 teams minus you and Tampa Bay who will pay the price Tampa Bay will. So they're negotiating against themselves and they know it and you know it. The question is, will they give enough up to justify the cap hit and the PR hit that Steve Keim will take with the trade? And I think the answer to that question is yes. I think they will.
You know who might want David Johnson? The LA Rams. If they're not going to pay this $7 million plus kicker that's due Todd Gurley in the very near future, name another back who fits that Sean McVay system. Name another back akin to a Todd Gurley, who's not nearly what he used to be because of the knee injury, that they might kick the tires on. The problem is that Steve Keim would never, ever, I would presume, trade David Johnson within the division. Otherwise, the Rams could be a candidate.
I think he would, but there would be a divisional price. You know what I mean? It's like, okay.
A surtax.
Like everybody else, it's a four. I'm asking for a fourth-round pick, maybe third-round pick. Oh, Seattle, San Francisco, L.A., it's a first-round tax, you know, and now you've got to advance right. It. And it would be cost prohibitive that they wouldn't do it because Steve Keim would charge them so much more than what he's really willing to go for.
There's just so much smoke around the Tampa Bay thing, the Tampa Bay offering right there. I mean, he's the perfect fit for BA in his offense.
Yeah. And the reason why I don't think it's a conspiracy, Paul, is this. I think there's so much that underground gets done at the Combine that there's a very good chance that, I mean, Steve Keim and Jason Light are good friends. There's no doubt to me they've had a beer, they've had a glass of wine, they went to Elmo's, they did something. And then here you go, hey, Bruce Arians is talking to Jason Light that morning. Hey, how's it look? And he's got David Johnson on the mind, and then somebody says, what are you looking for in a running back?
Edwin James never came off the field. Marshall Faulk never came off the field. So you're always, for me, I'm looking for that type of guy, David Johnson type of guy. I can't use his name.
Oh,
that's so good.
Really? Interesting. By the way, Wolf, you were off. Did you hear what Cliff Kingsbury said on that Ryan Russillo podcast about the Cardinals' first game against Detroit?
Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. I was thinking, I can't believe I just bought that house. I'm going to be here two games and they're going to fire me because it was as bad as I'd ever seen. I mean, we couldn't get a yard and we couldn't complete a pass.
If you go back, I didn't realize this. When I went back and looked at the stats just to see how bad it was, and the Cardinals were down 24-6 early fourth quarter, et cetera, you realize in that game, by the time the game was over in overtime, David Johnson had 18 carries for 82 yards rushing in that game, 4.6 yards a carry, and he also had 6 catches for 55 yards receiving, including that 27-yard touchdown catch. If you go back to before David Johnson was dealing with injuries, and maybe before the offense evolved beyond where he was utilized to the best of his skill set, that was a pretty darn productive week one for David Johnson. Maybe the best game he played all year.
See if something changes now if they try to use him. Coming up next, Governor Ducey. That's right. The governor is coming in, Doug Ducey. And the reason why he's coming in is I have a plan. And the plan is to steal the combine. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Yeah! Boy, that feels good, does it not, Basinonians? The Doug and Wolf Show, Savage is in the morning broadcasting, so you don't have to, Douglas.
The governor, Doug Ducey, has just walked into the Auction Community Studios, and since he's totally unprepared for what's about to happen, let's just run him over with an embarrassing question up front. What is the one song that's on your phone you don't want any of your constituency to know?
The one, well, I've got iTunes on there. I mean, there's a bunch of songs that are on there. Yeah,
but nothing like "We Built This City" from Jefferson Airplane.
Not on my phone.
Okay,
that's not on my
playlist.
Done.
How are you?
Real good, real good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Well, I have a secret plot, and I wanted to know if you can help me with it. Can we start the planning stages of trying to steal the combine from Indianapolis?
Sure.
It belongs. We've got a lot more to offer than Indianapolis does.
Well, that I agree with.
How can we start this process? What can you do to bring the combine here?
Well, is it up for bid?
No, it is not. We just have to blatantly steal it.
We could. It would be so much nicer. We could do it outside.
Yes.
In this kind of weather.
Yes. Being,
like put it right alongside spring training. It'd be fantastic.
And think about how much more attention the NFL would get to drop it right into the Cactus League like that.
It's incredibly the power of the NFL and the amount of people that watched the draft. Did you see that crowd that was in Nashville last year when they hosted it in the rain?
Yes.
So something like the combine. This is an idea you guys should pitch to Michael Bidwell.
Okay. We need your help, though.
This is really important right here because in 1985, the first combine, you know where it was? It was in Tempe, Arizona.
Was it really?
And they took it from us.
I was in that.
Come on, Governor.
I was in that, Governor. I was actually in that combine in 1985 in Tempe, right? Well, let me throw this out to you right now, Governor. If you had to make a phone call and say, hey, listen, is there any chance of this happening? Who would you call?
Well, I would start with Michael Bidwell.
Okay.
I would start with Michael Bidwell, Roger Goodell. I actually think, boy, the idea, I've seen the power, of course, of the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And you've seen the leadership the Cardinals have demonstrated in bringing the game here again and again. And I've been a part of that process now. And then I see how the draft has been awarded. Can you imagine the combine? Traveling that as well.
Oh, yeah.
And a city or a community that would commit the facilities, we already have them existing. It's a good idea.
Right, there we go. Streams.
We've now got the governor on our side for this. Speaking of the Cardinals, with the 8th pick in the 2020 NFL draft, you want the Arizona Cardinals to select?
Well, there's 4 Sun Devils that are coming up in the draft. I like Eno Benjamin a lot. I've always liked him. I'll leave it to Steve Keim if he's NFL ready and worthy of a first-round draft pick. But it's great to see some of the local kids.
You know, Brandon Ayuk is getting a lot of attention right now.
Yeah,
and he's another guy that I think will definitely be in the mix.
Yeah.
Those guys determine, I mean, what's the difference between a first-round pick and Tom Brady in the 6th round, right?
So ASU, of course, basketball, right? Bobby Hurley and the boys.
Very excited for tonight.
I believe it's 7 wins in a row right now. Right?
Red hot.
So are you going, Governor?
I'm not going. I'll be watching. I'll
be watching.
I want to say for the record,
hard to get to
California. I think that it's a shame that it's on the Pac-12 network. This should be on network TV. Jim Nantz should be commentating on CBS or at least ESPN. But I'm hoping everybody will let their kids stay up late and watch Arizona State slay UCLA.
So you're not going to get in the private jet and just boom.
No. I'm going to watch it on TV.
Oh, that's
Do you ever get involved in something like that? Because it is, on the one hand, it's not a governor issue about the Pac-12 network and the lack of coverage we get. But at the same time, I mean, this is a state university, 2 state universities that are underrepresented with the way the Pac-12 network is being run.
I think the Pac-12 can do better on this. What I hear is the fans talk about it. I'm lucky I do have the Pac-12 network at home, but I think it's a shame on many of the sports that they're only available through cable networks. Playoff games start at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. I don't know why this is starting at 9 o'clock either. It should be a 5 o'clock tip-off.
Absolutely.
And let everybody watch it.
Yeah, good
point. How about DeAndre Ayton? How much have you watched his development this year for the Phoenix Suns?
Well, he seems to, he's going to be around for a long time, don't you think?
Yeah. I think so.
And
no
he's
doubt.
He's a real player. I mean, he was compared to Wilt Chamberlain and some of the greatest to ever play as he came out as a very young man. And boy, he's bigger and stronger, and he's developing. So I think there's a lot of high expectations, and you never know
his awareness. I think, Governor, overall, that's a thing to me. It's his awareness, I think, of the game. He's starting to become a little bit of a student of the game and understand it. And that, I think, is something he was lacking last season.
Well, it's got to be an incredible learning curve. You know, we just saw the memorial for Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't a Kobe fan. I actually became more of a fan after his passing, hearing the personal stories of him. I was more of the Michael Jordan era. But, you know, I had forgotten that Kobe came out when he was 17 years old and how quickly he adapted and really what an incredibly fierce competitor and winner he was on the court.
As the governor of Arizona, was Doug Ducey knowledgeable enough to know that you could be a starting major league pitcher and make make $26,000 in Wickenburg rodeos on the side. Did you know anything about this?
I thought that was such a great story. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And I've been to several rodeos. They're incredibly entertaining, but they are unbelievably dangerous. You see these guys being taken off, and you're almost amazed that everybody isn't taken off in a stretcher. And I know how those guys lose digits in the event that he specializes in, and yet he does it in his spare time.
It's just stunning to me, Governor, because in 1985, I signed a professional sports contract that had a clause in that contract that said you can't water ski, you can't get on a motorcycle, you can't ski, snow ski, you can't do anything that is dangerous outside of a game of football, because if you get hurt, you could null and void the contract.
Right, right.
I can't believe that those clauses are still not in contracts today.
Well, don't you think it is in the contract?
Yes, but it was so weird, Mike Hazen, listening to Mike Hazen, the general manager for the Arizona Diamondbacks. I know you know him, right? Mike Hazen, listening to him, he when I listened to his answer on a direct question that was asked of him about that, he seemed to dodge a little bit on that, and I didn't understand the reasoning of why dodge. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I think you can have an expectation that these guys shouldn't be out running with the bulls or calf open if you're paying them millions of dollars.
Now, you said you went to rodeos. Did you know if you saw Mason Saunders /
I wouldn't
Madison,
have known. But these are really tough guys. I mean, I'm sure you've seen it. It's something to see it in person.
Yeah.
It doesn't translate on TV like when you're in the crowd and can really see the power of these animals. And you know, some guys take them down and make it look easy.
Oh, yeah.
Other guys don't. You know, they fail at it, or they blow the whistle and the rodeo clown has to come out to get them off there. And you really see how challenging it is.
Governor, have you ever had an alias?
And I've not had an alias.
No, really?
Do you want an alias?
No, I don't want an alias.
So wherever you go, you're not actually registering somewhere in a hotel with an alias.
No, I'm not doing that.
Look at your security.
That sounds like big trouble.
Now, that was the first time security turned and looked at Wolf
exactly.
on that. The Governor Doug Ducey is live in the Auction Community Studios with us. I don't know if you take this story seriously or not, but there was a previous story, this was a couple months ago, that the Diamondbacks were flirting around with Henderson, Nevada. Now there's a story that came out of The Athletic a couple days ago that said they, in 2018, they looked around Vancouver, and they're saying, hey, just in case something happened to Chase Field, we need to look at all stadiums. They don't think it's a very big story, but what does the governor think when he sees stories about something like this?
Well, I think we're a major league state and a major league city because we have the four major league franchises here. And MLB is part of that, along with the NBA, NHL, and NFL. I want to keep the Arizona Diamondbacks here.
Do you have to do anything? Is that a governor's job,
do you think? Well, you know, right now I know they're in a county facility. They're having discussions with both the city and the county. I'm confident with some leadership there, this can happen. They're the Arizona Diamondbacks. They won the greatest World Series ever played in 2001, and this is where they belong.
Do you ride at all? I mean, do you get on that horse? I mean, are you any type of a rancher at all?
I was born in Toledo, Ohio.
So that's the easiest. Yeah,
yeah, you do this. You know, you have to do certain things in politics. There's parades and everything. And the one that is the largest in the state is in Prescott. And a very nice individual offered me to ride his horse. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna walk in the
parade. Well done. Well done.
Anything I can't drop with a straight right hand, I don't like being around. I'm just telling you that. Right now.
Well, that's an interesting way to end the conversation with the governor of the state of Arizona. Doug Ducey, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Governor.
That's your governor. We've got Derek Hall coming up in about 45 minutes to talk about Mason Saunders and Wickenburg Rodeos. Up next, Maloney gets you caught up on the Rush Hour reboot on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.